This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. So let's pick up where we left off with Adam Posen at the top of the program, his analysis of the short and medium-term future of the Chinese economy. To that, we will now add some on-the-ground reality, what small and medium-sized Chinese companies are saying about the actual state of play over there. Marketplace's Jennifer Pack has that from Shanghai.
I'm at a tea shop in an affluent area in Shanghai's Pudong district. The boss, Jane Vajung, prepares a type of oolong tea, Tie Guan Yin, for us. The tea is of such good quality, she says. You just need to steep the tea leaves for 8 seconds and then drink. That's when I ask. How's business? And she asks if I want the truth.
After the pandemic, many clients who were big spenders have already run away.
Run away meaning emigrated. A lot of people have been talking about leaving after Shanghai's strict lockdown last year.
So I lost a lot of my big customers, and the rest of my clients don't spend as often. Like, if they used to buy our tea once a month, now it's once every 3 months.
Meantime, Shanghai's government increased the amount employers pay into the social security system. Again, by our count, a lot of small and medium-sized businesses have paid an extra 16% a year every year since the pandemic in 2020. Again, Jane Vajang.
For a shop of our size, that means I have to make an extra $14,000 in sales revenue to cover the additional costs this year.
High labor costs might make it even harder for new graduates to enter the workforce. At a Starbucks, Wu Yo tells me he was interning at a freight forwarding company doing sales for the past year.
My salary was $560 per month, plus commission.
And because he was an intern, he says, the company didn't need to provide social welfare benefits.
The company is very bad. I graduated this June. If I'd kept working there, the company would have had to pay my social insurance premiums. Instead, they asked me to leave because my sales performance wasn't good enough. And then they hired another round of interns, so they don't need to give social welfare benefits.
At the same time, Wu Yo says he knows employers are asked to pay a lot into China's social welfare system. It's at least 37% of a worker's salary. Wu Yo says he's part of the unluckiest graduating class in recent Chinese history.
If I graduated a year or two earlier in the middle of the pandemic, I could have earned more money. Because when everything was shut down abroad, China's factories were still operating. So we had a lot of exports.
And he thinks under better economic conditions, his former company would have kept him on. Back at the tea shop, Jane Vajung says two of her staff quit recently, but she's not in a huge hurry to replace them.
The reason I could survive this pandemic is because I got a business loan using my condo as collateral. I have to thank the government for providing the loan for small business owners. But for those who don't have property, they went out of business.
Her goal for the next 3 years, she says, is to just survive. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.